I want you to turn with me to your Bibles right now while we are waiting for our evangelist to come and speak, Reverend Benjamin, to Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. While we were praying, now listen to this very carefully. While we were praying a few minutes ago, the Lord said this to me, "Do not be fearful of the symptoms of your defeat, because your victory is already determined." Sometimes when you're fighting the battle, we have some symptoms of defeat, and we feel that we're defeating, not knowing our finishing line is victory. Exodus 14 and verse 14 says, "I, the Lord, will do the battle for you. Please hold your peace." If I were to write the version, "I, the Lord, will fight the battle for you, so keep quiet. Zip your mouth, keep quiet." I would say that. I wouldn't say shut up, of course, okay? And so that's the word God gave me. Sometimes we go through the symptoms of defeat. Actually, we're not defeated. How can we be defeated when we are more than conquerors? Is that true? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Okay, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says this. Look at the screen. "Do not remember the former things." Do not remember the former things. "Or consider the things of the old." Or consider the things of the old. "For I, the Lord, will" what? "Will do a new thing. And now it shall spring forth, and you will, and shall you not know it?" You will perceive. "I will even," look at verse 19, "I will even make road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, what could be the purpose of this short message? You know, "I, the Lord, will declare new things." I, the Lord, will declare new things as we enter into 2023. Is that wonderful? Come on, somebody say amen, please. I said two things just now, right? Okay, number two, all those who want to attend the marriage seminar, you want to attend the marriage seminar, please get married as quickly as possible so you can come, okay? Now, as you look at the scriptures, there's two scriptures, okay? Many of us cannot sit back and just wait for the new things to happen. Why? Your cooperation is very important. Your cooperation towards what God thinks about our past and our future is very important. How many of you know what God thinks about our past and our future? See, many of us continue to live in our past. Many of us continue to live in our regrets. Are you here with me? You know? But what does God think about our past? How many of you want to know? Just wave your hand. All of us have got past, right? What does God think about our past? And what does God has for us in the future? Knowing God's mind will help your mind to be renewed and your spirit to be renewed, so that we can expect what the scripture talks about for us in the coming year. Okay, four things. Number one, God is a God of the future. Come on, somebody say amen, please. He was in the past, but he is and is to come now. He's a God of the future. Come on, somebody say amen, please. When you continue to live in your past, what happens? You have to face two tragics. Tragedy or tragics, short form. If you don't find it in English, it's my English the one. Number one, the tragic of regret. The tragic of regret. How many of you are living in regret? It's simply because you're living in the past. Are you here with me? The three disciples who did not do well with Jesus were number one, Judas, number two, Peter, number three, Thomas. Right or wrong? Now, Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus, and John, Thomas doubted Jesus. All this is found in John the 18th chapter and John the 20th chapter. Go back and read. But out of these three disciples, one probably went to hell because he died in the tragic of his regret. Judas. Whereas the other two, they decided they will go forward. And they went ahead and they lived the life of forgiveness and they lived a total life. Thomas ended up in Kerala. That's why we have the Keralites, the Mathamites, the Syrian Orthodox, you know. And of course, the rest. Are you here with me now? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Number one, if you live in the past, you live in the tragic of regrets. Number two, you also live in the falsehood of joy. Falsehood of joy. The good old days. How many of you live in the good old days? Good old days. When the children were young, when they were big, you know, all kinds of things. So we look at our albums and we say the good old days. You know, friends, your days ahead are much more better than the days that have passed. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Because he is a God from joy to joy, from happiness to happiness, from gladness to gladness. Come on, are you here with me? So we live in the falsehood of happiness. And we forfeit what is ahead of us. And that's why Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, not 2, 3 and verse 13 and 14, he says this, I do one thing, brethren, I leave behind the past and reach forward for those things that are ahead. And I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. What is the upward call? Not just eternal life. Our lives are meant to be a life in momentum of the progressive will of God. From faith to faith. From victory to victory. From healing to healing. From betterment to betterment. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. He's the God of future. Everybody say God of the future. That's why Isaiah tells us, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of the old. Number two, he's the God of new. Turn to your neighbor and say, new. I'm wearing a new shirt. Somebody gave me from Shanghai. What an occasion to wear. Shanghai. Come on, look at me. What's the point of wearing a new shirt when you can't experience new things in your life? A renewed life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, are you here with me? Everybody look at me. God is a God of new things. God is a God of new life. God is a God of new plan. He's a God of time and season. Glory to God. Come on, look at me. How many of you feel your 2022 has been a year of defeat, a year of sadness, a year that you did not see a breakthrough? Nevertheless, whatever has happened, I want you to know the past is a past. There is no hope in the past. There's no future in the past. There's no breakthrough in the past. Come on. We need to let go. We need to accept the past. And Isaiah 42 verse 8:9 tells us, are you here with me or not? Wave your hands. Isaiah 42 verse 9 says, this is God's verdict, indictment of your past. You know what it says? Behold, the former things have come to pass. It doesn't say the former things ended prematurely. No, it didn't happen. The former things happened so suddenly, premature, not complete. Right? It says the former things has come to pass. The season is over. The time is over. And I, the Lord, will declare new things. New things. Everybody say new things. Before the spring forth, I will show it to you. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? God is a good God. Sometimes, because of heavy rain, our durian seasons are not complete. Seriously, durian, you can't have a heavy rain during the flowering season. You know, just because we did not have a proper durian season, it doesn't mean God will take us back to that season again. No, He will move on to the rambutan season. He will move on to the mangosteen season. Come on, that's how God leads your life. Come on, He's the God of the new. When you got saved, He gave you the seal of newness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things have gone. Everything has become new. Right or wrong? New seal. And then He gave us a new love. John 13:34 and 35. A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another, that I have loved you, that the world may know that you are my disciples. And then He gave us a new covenant. John, Hebrew, the 8th chapter, verse 8. The old covenant is obsolete. The old covenant, He found fault and gave us a new covenant through the blood of Jesus. Number one, He's the God of the future. Sorry, number one, right? Number two, He's the God of the new. And look at me, very quickly. In order to understand the new things that God has for us, we're already 22 days into 2023. Right? 22 days. He's the God of now. Come on. He's the God of now. And now is the language of miracles. He's the God of now. Come on. We don't pray and wait for things to happen. We pray and receive those things in our spirit. Come on. Somebody say amen, please. And then it happens in the natural. Are you here with me? Mark 11:24. Jesus said, whatever things you desire, pray, believe, and receive them. Receive them, and then you will have it. Hallelujah. Put your hands together, give Jesus the glory. Faith receives those things in the spirit before we receive them practically. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and there are four things that I've been praying. You know, I'm receiving in my spirit. And this year, the Lord told me specifically, you already received, and I want you to give thanks for these four things. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Four things. If you want to know, then you take me for dinner or what? I tell you. No, I won't tell you. Okay. Come on, somebody say amen, please. He's the God of now. Everybody say now. This is the concept the church needs to understand. Religion tells us, pay me a vow and make a pledge. But relationship says, now. Everybody say now. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond you could ask or think within the power that works in you. The power to believe for a breakthrough. And then Hebrew, the 11th chapter, verse 6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe. Ivan, are you here? Must believe He is. He is, not was, He's going to be. He is. He is the rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. Number one, God is the God of the future. Number two, God is the God of the new. Number three, God is the God of the now. And number four, finally, this is how God looks at your past. This is how He profiles your past, so that you will not live in your past. You will not regret your living the regrets of your past on the falsehood of your happiness of the past. Are you here with me? Come on, are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? Finally, number four. He is the God. I like this. I like this. You know why? The end of man is a supernatural beginning of God. Seriously, I've always said this. I'm standing at the end of my strength. I'm standing at the end of my life. I'm standing at the end of my self-control. I'm standing at the end of the battle. The God of the next is a supernatural visitation. Hallelujah. That's the God of the next. He's the God of the next. Everybody has got next change. Turn to your neighbor and say, next change. Oh, you go to your theater. It says coming soon. you know, coming soon, or next change. Our next change is not ordinary. Our next change is not natural. Our next change is not what you would perceive. Our next change is the visitation of the supernatural power of God upon your life. Come on, put your hands together, give Jesus his glory. See the Ugandans standing up. Africans are like that. They stand up and dance. And verse 19 says this. You know what it says? I, the Lord, will make a way. Waymaker, miracle worker. Even when I don't see, he is working. Glory to God. He's a waymaker. Huh? Even if I don't see, he's working. Glory to God. Somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. You know, sounds so ridiculous. To be supernatural, we miraculous, we need to be ridiculous. Make a way in the wilderness, and I'll bring forth rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. The places where you need desperately a breakthrough. In places where you need the flood of God's presence and fullness. He said, I'll come for you. Glory to God. Are you here with me? Come on, somebody say amen, please. So therefore, in order for us to experience this new beginning, we need not just a new year, not just a new start. What we need, somebody talking, is a new anointing. Everybody say new anointing. Dalam bahasa Malaysia, satu urapan yang baru. Satu urapan, okay, same. For those of you don't understand, satu urapan yang baru. Mereka tidak tahu apa dia orang. I just quoted both of you. You don't understand, right? Little bin. Satu minyak yang baru. New oil, satu minyak yang baru. Satu hadirat yang baru. Satu anggur yang baru. Itu yang Tuhan tetapkan untuk kita pada tahun ini 2023. Halo 2023, right? 2023. And look at this. I'm going to end with this as Mr. Benjamin will come. Now look at me. David said this. You take the mic from up, okay? And David said this. You know, all of us need this. Times of refreshing. Say times of refreshing. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen today, right in this place. You know what? David said this. Lord, you have, 92 verse 10. Lord, you have exalted my horn like a wild ox. That means you have sharpened my horn. I've been blind. I cannot pray. I cannot read the word. I'm cold and I'm cold and dark in my spirit. But you pick me up and you sharpen my horn. And then for the sharpness of the horn to be effective, the spiritual authority, you gave me empowerment. You filled me with fresh oil. Fill me with fresh oil. There are three dynamic characteristics of the new anointing as Benjamin comes. Benjamin, the water is yours. I didn't touch.
Praise God, hallelujah. How many of you are very blessed for the first part of the sermon? You know, I'm sure as you were listening to that sermon earlier, there's something boiling inside of you and you're saying, God, I want this new thing. I need this new oil. How many of you here, you need this new oil of anointing? Come on, wave your hand at me. As we were reading earlier, you know, Psalms 92 verse 10, Pastor was quoting that David said that you have exalted my horn like a wild ox. What does it mean? So he talks about new victory. That's what David was referring to. When David said, you have exalted my horn like a wild ox, it means victory. It means new authority. Turn your neighbor and say, new authority. And when David got the new authority, the second part he says, for I have been anointed with new oil. Some other version says, for I have been anointed with fresh oil. How many of you need that fresh oil this morning? Now here he talks about new authority, new victory, and a new anointing. Come on, everybody said, God, fill me with new anointing. You know, I believe this morning that the Lord wants to remove the old, like what Pastor was saying earlier, remove the old so that God can give us this new anointing. And this new anointing will cause us to walk in the victory that God has for us. How many of you know that we are the children of freedom? Come on, people of God. We are the children of freedom. We are the children of liberty. But for some reason, the devil may have robbed that away from you, because the devil has a purpose. The devil has an assignment. What is assignment? What is purpose? John chapter 10 verse 10 will say that the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Steal your joy, steal your peace, kill you and destroy you. But how many of you know that God has a purpose as well? As much as the devil has a purpose, God has a purpose. As much as the devil has an assignment, God has an assignment as well. But God's purpose, God's assignment for you and I, that when He comes, that He will give you life and life more abundantly. Come on, people of God, give God the glory. And today, as Pastor was saying, the purpose of the message for you to experience the new thing is for you to have new anointing. Now we're going to be going into three different characteristics of the new anointing, all right? But for time reason, we will see. If not, we will just go to two only, all right? So God has to remove the old oil and fill us with new oil. Number one, the anointing is a tangible spiritual force. Can we have it on the screen? The anointing is a tangible spiritual power. Everybody repeat after me. 1, 2, 3. Now, what do you mean by tangible? Something that you can touch. Even though it may seem, it may feel, or it may see invisible, but the result is always visible. Come on, if you will know and you will understand what it is like to touch the garments of Jesus, later we'll go on and look at the illustration of how this woman touches the garment of Jesus, and instantly what happened? She saw the fruit of it. She saw the result of it. The power that came out from Jesus may seem invisible, but the result is so visible. How many of you would like to see visible result this morning in your life, in your family, in your career, in whatever you do, in your ministry, in the place where you see there is no hope, in the place where you feel so dry? There you will see the fruit of God's power. Come on, somebody give God the glory in this place. And the best illustration here we can see in the book of Mark chapter 5 verse 30. Mark chapter 5 verse 30, from 23, 24 onwards, you will find that this woman, she had with the issue of blood. And as what Jesus was walking by, you know, she touched at the cloak of Jesus, at the garment of Jesus. And you know what the Bible said? Go back and read. Jesus felt immediately something left out of him. It's like, this is what the anointing is all about. What kind of power that left out of Jesus? It's the anointing that left. It's like Jesus was full with power. When this woman touches the cloak of Jesus, Jesus felt something let out of him. It was the anointing that came out from Jesus and went into this woman. And the woman, the Bible said, instantly her bleeding that she was suffering for 12 years, my friend, immediately it got dried up. This is what it means. Invisible power, but visible result. Invisible power, visible fruit. Invisible power, but visible hope. Visible victory. How many of you would like to see that? Come on, shout amen. And this is what the God power is all about. Jesus' power is all about. The woman had issue of blood for 12 years, but instantly this woman got healed because the anointing, it was a tangible one. I want to tell you something. There are many ways where we can learn or identify how can we get this new anointing. But the most important thing is, I want to tell you something. Don't ever take away your eyes from Jesus. Don't ever lose sight from Jesus, because you know why? It is through Jesus and in Jesus where you will get the anointing. Yes, I do understand sometimes when you mix around godly friends, when you mix around godly men and women of God, you can get the anointing. But the best anointing comes from Jesus Christ the Lord. Just like this woman, the disciples were walking, the disciples were going, you know, they too may carry the power of God. But this woman understood, if I just get hold of the one who gives the anointing, then then my life will be made different. Then I will see the victory. Then I will see God's breakthrough come upon me. So my friend, don't go chase of other things. Don't go chase after certain things that will make you whole. But chase after God. Because that's where the true anointing comes. Come on, people of God. Give God the glory in this place. And this woman who was suffering for 12 years, and instantly she got the healing power of God because there was this new anointing that came upon her. Everybody said, God, I need this new anointing. And what was the result for her? She got healed. The result was the miracle of restoration. The result, remember I said invisible, but the result now? It's miraculous, a miracle of restoration. Where do you need this miracle restoration? Where have you lost it? Where do you have lost your hope? In what area, in what aspect of your life that you have lost your finance? You have lost the love, that you have lost your destiny, that you have lost your blessing. I may not know, but you know where you have lost. But let me tell you that this anointing, as the worship leader was singing earlier, how many of you felt there was such anointing of restoration? Even Pastor Jonathan said that word, restoration. Pastor Rajan talked about restoration. I'm talking about restoration. My friend, this is not coincidence, but this is the divine plan of God, because God wants to bring restoration in your life, in your family, in your career, in your relationship, in your ministry. And all we need to say, God, fill me with new oil. God, fill me with new oil. How many of you own a car? You own a car. How many of you ladies, you bring your car for service? Or your husband bring it to you for you? See, Jeffrey, they are arguing. No, kidding. For those of you, you own a car, you know, and every 3 months once, or a certain mileage when you reach, you have to bring your car for service. And the most basic service, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, you just do the basic service. What's the basic service? Change the oil. The old oil. Because you know what? You will find that if you don't change your oil, some of you may be stingy, huh? You don't want to change your oil. Little bit more, Kenna. Little bit more now. Only... only 100, you know, only 100 a kilometer difference, huh? Maybe 1,000 I will change, you know. But as you will realize one thing, those who drive, you will know the car gets very heavy. The car is same, you know. You have not put on weight or what, okay? Same, everything is same. But you feel that the car cannot go, like, there's no speed, there's heavy. It's draggy because you know why? All oil. Likewise, many of us, we feel draggy. How many of you feel like that? Don't put up your hand. You feel that you're dragging your feet. Are you come to church? Are you so lazy? Or you go for prayer meeting? Are so lazy? You feel you're dragging and dragging because it's an old oil that needs to be changed into a new oil. Just like your car, when you replenish your new oil and suddenly you find that, oh, now my car is smoother. Suddenly your Myvi turns into Ferrari. How many of you drive some Myvi? It's a good car. Maybe we can overtake Ferrari, no, Pastor? Maybe hits a Ferrari, Ferrari gets damaged. Seriously, you know, I'm not kidding. Okay, anyway, I'm not promoting Maybe, okay? Anyway, what I'm trying to say, even if a car needs a change of the oil, we also need change of oil. So that when the new oil comes, you will, Sunday morning you wake up, I'm so happy to go to the house of the Lord. Whenever you open the Bible, God, show me what you are speaking to me. Whenever you come to the presence of God, God, I want to hear you speak to me. Because the old oil is gone. When you keep old oil so long in your car, what happens? Dark smoke comes up from your exhaust. Smelly. And it causes pollution. Your old oil will cause pollution. And that's why sometimes you bring negativity to your family. That's the reason why sometimes when people say something good, you always see the bad in it. Because why? All oil. Just like the car, the exhaust. Smoke comes out. But when you are filled with new oil, there will be new aroma that comes out from your mouth. You will say good things. You will speak good things. You will react good things. Even when you see things are going bad, but in your... But in your heart, in your life, in your spirit, you're like, God, I know you are in control because we are being replenished with new oil. Later, what we're going to do is we're going to splash you with oil. I'm kidding. All right, that's number two. So where do you need this anointing? I may not know. But you will know where, in which area that you are lacking, in which area you find that you're struggling. You answer it right now and have faith that the Lord is going to come through for you. Number two, The characteristic of this anointing is the anointing sets people free. I like this. Sets people free. Turn to neighbor, sets people free. Every demons, every bondages, every strongholds, every addiction, every anxiety, every depression, every loneliness, every offense, every hurt, every disappointment, all these things shall go away so the Lord can set you free. Come on! And that's what he says in the book, in the book of John, that he will say, John chapter 10, John chapter 8, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are free. Everybody is free here, right? But the Lord, but some of you, probably that you are struggling with certain kind of bondage or stronghold, but the Lord wants to set his people free. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. The last part, if you have it on the screen, look at the last part. He says here what? What does he say? He says that the yoke will be destroyed. See the last part. The yoke will be destroyed. The yoke will be gone away. The yoke will be taken away because of the anointing. There might be yoke that is sitting upon your shoulder. There might be some heaviness upon you in your working place or in your relationship. But because of that anointing that is going to come upon you this morning, because of the anointing that you're going to receive this morning, those yoke, those burden, those stronghold shall come tumbling down. Come on, people of God. How many of you are ready for the baptism of this new anointing? You know, I'm tired of living with the old oil. I'm telling God, God, I need this new oil. As I was worshiping here this morning, I was telling God, God, give me new oil in my ministry. Give me new oil in my relationship. Give me new oil in my family. Give me new oil in my strength. Give me new oil in all the areas that I'm involved in, because I want to do, you know, I want to please God. I want to move forward. Like what Pastor said, that we will not look back, but we will look forward. Come on, it's time for us to move forward. We cannot sit back and look back at our past. Another illustration, or a powerful illustration we can see, is in Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 13 onwards. Now, this is a story of this woman who had infirmity for 18 years, the Bible said. Spirit of infirmity. 18 years she was suffering. And the Bible clearly said, you know what? It's like she can't put her back straight. She can't be straight up. And she was bending down. Now, another picture of someone who bends down or put their heads down and walk is someone who is defeated. Because you can't see the top. You can't look at your friends. You feel so shy to face the world. You feel so shy to face the reality because you are living a defeated life. And this woman was like that for 18 years, the Bible said. Look here. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Come on, look, verse 13. I like verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. Lay hands on her. And what the Bible said, what the Bible said, immediately her back was made straight. When Jesus touched that woman, there was a power, there was this new anointing that came out from Jesus, fell upon this woman, and 18 years she was walking like that. 18 years of defeat, 18 years of shameful life, 18 years for not looking above, 18 years for not knowing what's happening. All her life was disappointment. She was upset. She was sad. She had no hope. She had no peace. But immediately when Jesus touched her, the Bible said that Jesus set her free, and immediately what was down now became up. In your life, what seems to be down, God can make it up. Come on, my friend. It doesn't matter 1 year, 2 years, 13 years, or 18 years, but the Lord is able to do it, because the new anointing will cause you to stand up. Come on. That you will no longer live a defeated life. How many of you know, like what I said earlier, that we are already set free actually? But we're just carrying this old oil. As this new oil comes, you will understand. As soon as you said, God, fill me with this new oil, you will walk in complete freedom. There are people probably sitting here. You got certain stronghold or certain bondages that is gripping your heart, gripping your spirit, man. You want to come out from it, but you cannot come out from it. It could be an addiction. It could be a lustful thoughts. It could be unclean thoughts. It could be a certain addiction like gambling or nicotine or alcohol. Or probably you are in the bondage of loneliness. Or probably you are in a suicidal thought. You try to live life, but somehow the devil will come and put thoughts to you about dying, killing yourself. You're not good enough. You're like this. You're like that. And all these bondages and strongholds is eating your mind up. There are people who are sitting here that, you know, that the Lord wants to set you free this morning. Come on, that you will no longer think about suicidal, but rather you will think about life, because God has a good plan for you. God has a new hope for you. Come on. Come on, people of God. And some of you are going through rejection and loneliness, and these things are eating you up. Offense. That person said something about you, about me. My neighbor said something about me. This one said something about me. And this has become like a stronghold, like a bondage, and you feel that you can't come out. How many of you feel like that? Don't put up your hand. And you feel there's something like tie your legs, tie your hands. You want to move forward, you can't move forward. It's time for the Lord to break those chains so that you can walk free and you can do the things that the Lord wants you to do, so that you can be a blessing to the community. You can be a blessing to this church. Who say that there's nothing good in you? That's a lie from the pits of hell. There's so much of gold inside of you. So much of hope inside of you. That's the God we serve. And He wants you to walk in that complete freedom. Come on, people of God. How many of you need this oil? She couldn't live a normal life, full of fear, anxiety, depression. But the Lord sets her free. And we call this the miracle of deliverance and freedom. The first one, the miracles of restoration, right? Here in this point, we see this as a miracle of deliverance and freedom. In what area you feel like you're not being set free? Like you're in a bondage? Where you want to be set free? I may not know, but you know. My friend, my encouragement, my desire is that this church, all of us today, this morning, that we'll walk away from this place. That we will not just say, wow, that's a good sermon. But we will say, Pastor, I've been set free. Pastor, I felt the Lord is doing some inner work inside of me. Pastor, I've let go of my sins. Pastor, I've let go of my past. Pastor, I've let go of my addiction. Oh, that's the fruit that we want to see. That's the result that we want to see. We don't want you just to say, wow, that's a good sermon. Wow, that's a good preaching. Because you know why? Anyone can be a good preacher. But with the anointing, you can become a powerful preacher. You know, anyone can be a good father, but with the anointing, you can be a father who protects, a father who's full of wisdom. You know, without the anointing, you can be a wonderful, great singer like Mariah Carey. I can sing like that, all that. But with the anointing of God, even though you sing out of tune, even though you may sing out of, your lyrics may be wrong, but He will cause people to turn their hearts to God. That's the anointing of God. Without the anointing, you can be a good guitarist like Athens. Athens also is a guy with a lot of anointing, right? But with the anointing of God, with one strum, gring, the demons, I need to come on. Without the anointing, you hit the drums very loud, pain. But with the anointing, one cymbal, the demons to flee away. Come on, that's the anointing I'm talking about. If you want good speech without the anointing, attend TED Talks. Good stuff, encourage you. But the anointing will break yoke. The anointing, when someone hears something, Pastor, I need to respond to that. I need to react to that. That's the anointing. Come on. How many of you need that kind of anointing? Come on. Come on, stand up to your feet. What we're going to do is we're going to be praying for you. Can we get the anointed keyboardist? Come on. She's wearing full of red, full of fire. In Tamil, they will say, Nerupuda. Come on. Come on. Lift up both of your hands to Jesus. Come on. Come on. Let's not live with the old oil. Come on. Come on. It's time to move forward. Ragatala bhaga so do. Ragatala katala gasamara.